Jesus covered a lot of topics in the Sermon on the Mount. And it's really good to go through them. This morning we're going to look at who should we tell when we're fasting? Where should we lay up treasures? How are our eyes like a lamp? And who or what do we serve? Jesus says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they're fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When I first read this, I thought, why would I want to pour oil all over my face? But that was the custom back then, that people would wash and then make their faces shine with oil. But the hypocrites, those who really wanted to show that they were wonderful, would disfigure themselves and they'd look like they were fasting and they'd go around looking miserable, and people would say, "Oh, that must be a really holy man. Look how miserable they are because they're fasting so much." But Jesus said, no, don't tell anyone. What is fasting? It's abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. It's abasing the body. It's using our will to show our body, to tell our body, that it's not the boss. Our body should not be the master. Don't expect it to be easy if you've never tried fasting regularly. The body objects to not being fed, I tell you. Jesus assumes that we will fast. Fasting has never been cancelled in the scriptures. Is it for me with my state of health? Well, as you probably know, I'm diabetic. Pump myself full of insulin regularly. But, yes, I fast. I make sure that the medication is right before I don't eat. But I don't go around telling people when I'm fasting. Just act normal. Act normal. For whose sake do we fast? Ours. We're to humble ourselves before the Lord. Fasting is humbling. Fasting can be very humbling because your body doesn't do what you want it to do, and you know. But that's the thing. We want to be humble before God. What's the reward? The reward is that God hears us and God rewards us for doing it. How did Jesus do it? Well, once he went 40 days and 40 nights with no water or food. Now that is unusual, and that's not what we should do. The human body can't go more than 3 days without water, and I'd recommend fasts much shorter, maybe a day, maybe half a day, if you're getting into it. But the disciples didn't fast until after Jesus was ascended. But after that, they fasted frequently. Jesus said, I have food to eat of which you are unaware. So who do we tell? Do we tell our minister? I'm fasting. No. Do we tell our church? No. Do we tell all our neighbours? No. Do we tell all of mana ia? No. The world? Our family? No. Our spouse? Maybe. Especially if they're preparing meals for us. Oh, thank you for going to all the trouble for doing that, but I'm fasting today. Oops. Do we tell our Father in heaven? There's no need. He knows already. He knows already and doesn't need reminding. So what was Jesus on about regarding fasting? It was about not showing off, about acting normal towards others so that only God would know and God rewards us. I wasn't keeping up with my own notes. Verses 19 to 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You've heard many people say, you can't take it with you. But did you know you can send it ahead? Do you have nothing worth stealing? That may be a good thing. But how often do we put a bag or a box of winter clothes or blankets away, only to find when we go to use them next winter that they're full of holes? We've done this too often. Socks with holes, pajamas with holes, jerseys with holes, our best blankets with holes, moths, silverfish, cockroaches, earwigs, mice, rats, vermin. Yeah. Early on when Gracie and I were about to be married, we packed our few belongings into cartons and sealed them. This was a good thing. And we wrote on them with a Sharpie marker so that we knew what each box contained. This was not a good thing. A couple of days after our honeymoon, we'd moved into a small flat in Wellington. We decided we would go to a movie. This was a very bad thing. Because when we got back from the movie, we discovered that thieves had broken into our flat while we were away, and they had opened all the cartons, which were labelled with anything electronic, like radio alarm clocks, the stereo system, and so on. And all those things had been stolen, never to be seen again. How much better it would have been to spend our money on Christian outreach, so that some may have been saved for all time. This is the treasure that lasts. This is treasure in heaven. Does the lamp of your body let in light or darkness? That's an interesting question, isn't it? Verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Most lamps let light out. Did you know that there are lamps that let light in? Jesus said that our eyes are like that. So what do we look at? Things to enlighten us or things to darken us? How do we choose healthy or unhealthy eyes? By what we look at. By the images we allow into our minds and our hearts. Ladies, I don't know how it works for you, but for we men, once certain images have darkened our minds, they can seem impossible to forget. Only God, by his grace, can take dark images from our minds and restore real light to our darkness when we come to him with sincere prayer and repentance. Just how many masters can we serve and worship? Matthew 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, the Greek word for that is mammon, and the King James translation just puts that Greek word in for us, mammon. God himself tells us that it's impossible, yes, impossible, to serve two masters. One or the other will win our affections. Who is the master that we should serve? God our Father, of course. What masters do we serve instead? What masters have we put in God's place in our lives? In the Old Testament, these were called idols. But what we do today, surely, isn't that bad? Or is it? Let's think for a moment about sport. We Kiwis love to play sport. If we can't play sport for any reason, we love to watch it. Grab that ball, pass that ball, kick it, or better still, kick the opponent who actually just intercepted the pass. Oops. Sport keeps us healthy, so being obsessed with sport is a good thing, right? Wrong. Where do the gods of sport rank in relation to the God of the universe in our lives? Mount Olympus was the home of the Greek gods, fallen angels, and we still have international competitions in their name. If you want to know what you have made a god in your life instead of the God of the universe who created us, just look carefully at where you spend your time. Where do you spend your time? We all have to sleep, but not too much. We all have to eat, but not too much. We have to work to contribute to society and earn money for us and our families to live. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, "For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. The one who is unwilling to work should not eat." Now Jesus comes back to money in this passage. He says, you cannot serve both God and money. Some translations use the word mammon for money. This is effectively the Greek word without being translated, because it can represent the spirit behind amassing money. Mammon was a Syrian deity, the god of riches, So this clearly shows that it's a fallen angel or demon in direct comparison to the true God. It is the love of money. Any spirit that's not the Holy Spirit and leads us away from God our Father. Let me repeat that. Any spirit who is not the Holy Spirit leads us away from our God and Father. Millionaires have been asked, how much more is enough? And a common answer is, oh, just the next million. In other words, never enough. So who did Jesus serve? As far as we know, Jesus never even carried money. Whenever he needed a coin for an object lesson, he had to borrow one. So Jesus always served God the Father. Not just first, only. God says, you shall have no other gods before me. What other gods? What other things or activities are taking our time and attention, which we should be giving to God our Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? What else takes our time so we think we have no time for God? No one can serve two masters. Think about this. What can I eliminate from my life so that I can serve God better? So that I can serve God only. What is all consuming that is not God? Alcohol, drugs, exercise. The scripture says, physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. 1 Timothy 4:8. We love pleasure. We love self. We get involved, some get involved in sex outside of marriage. We get involved in sport, playing and training for sport. We get involved in watching sport. We get involved in martial arts. And remember, all Eastern exercises are helped and devoted to demonic beings. It's related to Eastern religions. We get involved in chasing money. We get involved in careers. And you go through your career and you spent your whole life making a better button to go on a shirt. And what has that contributed to eternity? Not much. Our hobbies can take us away from God. All religion takes us away from God, because religion is defined as man's effort to reach God. In Christianity, God reached down to man. And that's the difference. That's the difference. What about TV? TV is generally a sewer straight into your living room. We permit stuff on the TV that we'd never allow in person in our living room. This includes religious channels. Shine is mostly very good. All other religious channels are heresies, which sound good, but do not honour God. Remember, if a channel sounded bad, we'd turn it off. So it has to sound good to get past our guard. If in doubt, don't. And non-religious channels are mostly just evil these days. They are justified hatred. Oh yeah, I can identify with that person. They hate their brother, mother, sister, neighbour, whatever, and they justified in doing it. And we agree. Justified murder, jealousy, greed, covetousness, war, evil, disguised as news. Hour upon hour upon hour upon hour. And advertisements which feed our covetousness and make us spend money we don't have. Internet, where do we start? Once you start, it's impossible to stop. YouTube surfing. You're being fed with Satan's brew of evil. So many of the things on YouTube are so bad. This week, I deleted YouTube off my phone. It kept interfering with my relationship with Gracie. I had to keep stopping YouTube every time Gracie wanted to talk with me. And, just as it should be, that is very often. So YouTube was affecting my earthly relationships as well as my heavenly relationship. What's going to last forever? Our relationship with God and God's Word. I need to put God first and only, to spend more hours every day reading God's Word. We have time, it's just how we use it. Social media, self-promotion, self-worship, lovers of self, gaming, war. Killing seems good, but it's evil. The occult. Occult means hidden. Worship is God. Worship of God is never hidden. Worship of Satan is always hidden. People often don't know who they are worshipping. They just want power. Food, especially food fads or obsessions. For example, vegan food. God told us to eat both plants and animals. He instructed us to. Art. Art includes naked bodies, which are about lust and adultery. Paintings, tapestries, statues, decorated objects, idols, fetishes, spiritual objects, including ornaments. And we don't even have to go outside of New Zealand to collect spiritual objects. You cannot serve God and any other thing. You cannot. Not if you want to get to heaven. God does not tolerate any idols. Israel's greatest sin was to get involved in idolatry. Yahweh, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We must never serve or worship anyone but God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, maker of heaven and earth. Some of you are young enough to remember a pop singer named Bob Dylan. During the period he thought about God, he wrote a song called Gotta Serve Somebody. The first verse and chorus go like this. You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You may like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed. You're going to have to serve somebody. It may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Folks, like it or not, it is built into our very nature to serve God. He made us that way. We can't change that. But Satan came along and told mankind that we could be like God and serve ourselves, doing what we like. In fact, what he really meant was that we could serve him. Satan is successful in getting most people to serve him most of the time without their even noticing. But we need to be like Jesus, who served his Father all the time. Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man," that's Jesus, "did not come to be served, but to serve," "and to give his life as a ransom for many." In John 12:26, Jesus said, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honour the one who serves me." Therefore, let us think about what gods, with lowercase g, we can get out of our lives so that we can serve and honour and worship our Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father, with a capital G, more and more, this and every day of our lives, both now and into eternity. Father, please speak to our hearts. Please show us what you would have us do. Please point out to us the things that are getting in the way between us and you. Please give us your grace, your strength, to put them aside, to repent of them, and to spend the time honouring and serving you instead. We ask it in Jesus' name.